Okay, we need to move on. I think Marnie is next.
Mine says, it's pretty straightforward. The idea promoted by the world today is to divide and hate. This is indeed wrong-headed thinking. Instead, let us unite and love.
Amen.
Not much to say. I did, you know, separateness is the one sin.
So take this one.
No, it's okay. So if separateness is the one sin, that's what division is, and so I think...
Well, I bet you've noticed when you watch the news, though, that divide and hate is the...
It's the main theme.
Yeah, the theme of the news.
Well, who said divide and conquer? Who did that in history?
Napoleon?
Caesar.
I think Caesar.
Yeah.
Caesar. I think.
Napoleon.
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 Napoleon. Okay.
Alexander the Great.
Yeah, that's how you conquer people, is to divide them. Somebody's trying to conquer us by dividing us. They say the Chinese are putting a lot of money into our media to try to put one portion of us against another to weaken us.
Oh,
and
well,
probably
sure
the Russians too.
To yeah.
Then there's people within our own government, our own system, that don't like their own country and would just as soon it'd be replaced by something else. So dividing us is an objective of a lot of people in this country and the world. The whole world is experiencing a division. Mm-hmm. Except in... China, they're pretty much united compared to us. Of course, they have a dictatorship that kind of holds everything together. But all the democracies of the world are experiencing tremendous division that are threatening their existence, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of the world governments and the world simulacra, so to speak, is based on greed and materialism. And that... all of it will eventually have to fall into program.
Or change.
It's amazing how much land China owns in our country.
Yeah, and we can't own any land in China, but we let them own all kinds of land here.
Well, that's what I found out about Arizona, is that how much property they own.
Yeah, and we found out with this big controversy with Bud Light that Budweiser company is owned by, I think, somebody in Belgium or somewhere. Many of our big companies now are owned by foreign countries, and much of our land is. Pretty soon, there won't be anybody here owning any land. It's interesting.
I think what's cracking, though, China's obedience. Is the COVID pandemic and what happened?
Yeah.
His son Ramsey stayed with us overnight recently, and has been living in Shanghai for years, and they love it there, you know. But we were talking about the COVID thing, and he said that they locked people in their places, their apartments or whatever, from the outside, so they couldn't get out. And if you didn't have enough food and water stored, you can't drink their water because the pipes are so corroded that you get stomach cancer. And he lost a lot of people who died, friends who died from the stomach cancer.
Oh.
So he said, if you didn't have enough food and stuff stored, and he fortunately did, I said, what happened? And he said, they just starved and died.
Oh, oh no.
Wow. Yeah.
He knows people who starved and died?
They just let them starve.
And they started rebelling, and the Chinese government changed their minds, so that at least they had an influence on them.
Oh my God.
And then he says if you were in an apartment complex, because Shanghai has 20 million, 30 million people, he said if one person tested positive for COVID, the entire complex had to be put in a camp. 10,000 people, he said, went into one of those camps where they just had cots and a little bit of food.
Oh my God.
Everybody was scared to death that someone would test positive for COVID.
Yeah.
But he said they did throw food in your apartment, and he said then what they got one day was a head of cabbage and a carrot and a duck.
A live duck?
No, it was a dead duck. But it was skinned, but they had just cooked the duck. So they did throw some food at people in there. But can you imagine just letting the people starve?
Yeah.
That's a rough way to go.
Yeah.
It's one way to get the population down.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Interesting thought. And we have Miss Lucy next.
All right. So, it is not the possession of wealth that makes it difficult to enter heaven, but the interest you make on it.
What? Would you read that again?
No, it's a joke. It's okay with a joke. It is not the possession of wealth that makes it difficult to enter heaven, but what you do with that wealth.
Oh, okay.
Versus the interest you make on it. Several things ran through my head when I read this. It made me think of the Hydra, the Lernaean Hydra, the beast with the nine heads, and the one of the heads being desire and what you do with desire. It was one of the heads that you cannot kill. It's always there. So the possession of wealth in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's the action, decision, desire to do something with it that will get you in or out of heaven, basically.
Yeah.
And it made me think of an alchemist. I don't know why I had the image of this alchemist transmuting any metal into gold. And I think wealth is not just material money. It could be wealth of knowledge, what we do with the wealth of knowledge we have, and how we share it, to whom we share it with. So what use we have of our skills and talents and any, I guess, asset that we have, whether it be money or wisdom or knowledge, what we do with that and what it brings as outcome to others, people surrounding us, to the world, name it, that's what's going to open the door to greater, well, heaven is what?
Yeah.
Greater wisdom, greater knowledge, greater spiritual contact, whatever's above you.
Yeah. Yeah, it amazes me when a lot of people start getting wealth. The first thing they do, they get a second house, a yacht, 3-4 cars. They get a whole bunch of stuff that they can't use. And look how you spend most of your day. Most of your day you'll spend it in your office or the kitchen or just a couple square foot. And you can't use all that stuff out there. How you put it to use is the important thing. Okay, really good, Susie. And we'll move to Mr. Adam.
All should ask themselves this question: am I in charge of my life, or is life in charge of me? I think the obvious answer is we're in charge ultimately, regardless of the circumstance. And you think of people. We all know people who complain about everything, every circumstance, right? And I always want to say to these people, what's the common denominator here? It's the person complaining. So we can take charge of our lives in any given moment, no matter what. We have control over what we have control of. Even, you know, Viktor Frankl proved that in the most horrendous conditions. So I think discipline is a huge piece of this. But then I was thinking about there's another angle of that, and that's we all want discipline in our lives. We all want to manage our lives a little bit better, because that gives us the empowerment where we feel like we are in charge of our lives. But even that can go bad, right? There's a difference between self-mastery, I think, a little different, and, you know, depending on how we define it. I think sometimes people are disciplined on a perception of how life is supposed to be, and it's usually based in what JJ teaches about outward authority. And so they discipline their lives according to external forces, and they're not truly driven by self-mastery, which comes from within and is real. So I think you can take it to the excess, even with, you know, disciplines, black and white thinking. And so to truly be a master and say in a moment, yeah, I don't need this thing all the time, that's great, and you master that. But maybe there's something going on and you go, no, I can do that tonight. That's okay. I don't have to be tied to my to that strict belief because that's outside me and I know I can come back to my self-mastery at any moment. So I'm not trying to give us all an excuse to go out and try things that we would normally not try, but I think there's a difference there sometimes. So.
Yeah, I think you could say it boils down to internal reflection versus external projection. And those who do the internal reflection are in charge of their lives, and those who see the world as being out there see the world in charge of their lives. So, yeah, good comments, Adam. And Darren, I think you're the last one.
I was the first one.
Oh, you were the first one.
First
okay.
And the last.
So Adam was the last. Okay, we're done. So let's take a short break, and then we'll have a short introduction to the next theme. And we'll be taken care of by Adam and Marnie for
Yay.
Nutrients.
Yes.